just going to spend a little bit of time considering some things together. But guys, there's such a sense of just wanting to remain, not to step away from how Jesus has just come and met with us during the worship, but for this just to sort of be an overflow of some thoughts about who he is, about how he wants to meet with us, and then we're going to come back around to worship again. Because we just know that there's so much that the Father wants to do this morning. He always wants to. He's always at work. But Mary and I just had a brief conversation before, and just I didn't know this morning, in a sense, what we didn't know, you know, what songs that she had chosen. She didn't know what I was speaking on. But literally, you know, it could almost have been word for word in terms of the words that we've sung this morning about who Jesus is and how he meets us. So it's always that sense of when he reinforces something, we know, don't we, that there's something that he wants to do. And we were going to be sort of going a little bit of a different direction today, but just felt really clearly, sorry, I'm just going to look at the time, okay, just felt really clearly that the Father, you know, just sort of put this on my heart. And so it, in a sense, it's a little bit, in one way, off-piste, not off-piste at all, because, you know, all we ever do in this space is want to come around who Jesus is, who our Father is, what he's at work doing. But in that sense, it just felt it was a really just particular thing for some people this morning, in the space that the Father wants to meet us in. And, you know, Mary was saying before we started, you know, this is, it's just, again, it's not something we want to learn about his peace or, you know, about his presence, but actually to give time today for God to just come and change stuff in us with his peace, to meet us in that place. The verse that the Father really put on my heart this morning to come around who Jesus is and what we see of the Father when we look at Jesus, because, you know, they're one and the same, aren't they? Jesus is the mirror image of the Father. And when we see what Jesus did and who he was and how he lived, we get to see who the Father is as well. But if you want to follow along, we're going to just come around a verse in Psalm 139, very specifically. It's verse 11 and 12. Don't know if some of you saw the photos of the eclipse. I used one because I thought it was a cool, like, just seeing that darkness and the light all at the same time. I thought this is one of the coolest photos from that. And this is what it says: even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. And our prayer this morning is that Jesus just gets a little bit clearer to us experientially. And what I really felt he put on my heart to speak into specifically today was how he wants to meet us in the night. That's what we're looking at specifically. We could say all sorts of things about the day as well, but I really felt for some of us, we needed to know this morning that darkness is as light to him, and that his presence is everywhere, and he brings light into our night time and into the darker places and into those spaces. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, whether you've ever had difficulty falling off to sleep at night, waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to get back to sleep, times of the catastrophizing that can come 3 o'clock in the morning when everything is silent and dark and those thoughts start to rise, where fear and anxiety can be present. But that place too, where the peace of God can meet us in such a powerful way, where a dream can come that just changes the way we've been seeing something or the way that we've been walking something out. And I was going to sort of share this morning from one of the stories in Mark, but I'm just going to leave it to you guys to go and weigh and read it. In Mark 6 is when the disciples, just really quickly, they've just had this amazing encounter where Jesus has fed the 5,000. They have had a very full-on day. He's been teaching this enormous crowd of people, you know, right throughout the day. And it says when it gets to the evening or later in the day, they're like, we're going to have to feed these people or send them away. And then Jesus goes and takes the fishes and the loaves and does this extraordinary miracle of feeding them, the 5,000 people, and they're still left over. And immediately after that, Jesus sends them away, and it says it's night time. And what I really want to just, in a sense, what's been on my heart is just for God to spark something afresh for us about the nighttime space. And how he wants to kind of encounter us in that space as much as in our daytime. And so in this, he sends them away, and then he goes up a hill to pray. And it says that from the hill, he can see them far in the distance on the sea. So I don't know if that was a supernatural seeing, because they were some distance. And the wind had got up a little bit. It was harder work for them. So these guys have done all day. They've been standing alongside Jesus, you know, managing this crowd of 5,000, working out how they're going to feed him, seeing Jesus do this miracle. Then they get in a boat, and it's hard work, and it's gone into their night time, and they're struggling to get to the other side. And then Jesus comes, and he meets them on the water in that place. And I won't read the story, but if you read it, you just see a lot of, there's fear in that place. They were not expecting, obviously, to see Jesus, or not certainly not expecting to see him walk on water. And so they're afraid, and Jesus has to sort of speak into that and bring courage. And there's quite a lot of confusion in their story. They do not get what's been happening. They don't understand, it says, what took place in feeding these 5,000 people. They're just like, these guys are tired. They're all over the place. They're seeing the amazing, but they're wrestling in the dark. And I don't know about you, but so many times in my life, that's where I find myself. And this morning, I just want to kind of bring a little bit of, I guess, fresh expectation about how God sees that nighttime, that space that is not where there isn't light naturally. And I, you know, for me as a kid, I was taken to a movie at a very young age, and to see Snow White or something like that animated, which seemed fairly harmless, although when you look at them, most fairy tales are actually horrifically terrifying to small children when you really analyse them. And it was probably the first movie I'd seen, and for those of you who know me, I love movies. So visual is like massive for me, and I guess at that time, fear got in, and I started to have nightmares. And then I, at the age of 9, I went to a birthday party sleepover where the parents decided that it was an intelligent thing to do to show this group of 9-year-old girls The Exorcist and Friday the 13th. So at the age of 9, I saw those, and at that point I seriously started having issues with the nighttime. Fear was a massive, it was a real entry point, a gateway where the enemy got in. And so sleep, nighttime, had always been this kind of massive wrestle point for me. But a number of years ago, and it probably started a lot earlier, but I specifically just coming around more recent events, I suppose, is that I began to experience God and how he takes that and transforms it into something different and into something like a real place of encounter. And it can happen in so many different ways, and he meets each of us differently depending on what we need. So when a few years ago, when I lost my brother, it happened suddenly. I was at home on my own. Rich was away. And I always turn off my undisturbed thingy at night time because Mum has a habit of forgetting what time it is and WhatsApping at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I always leave the sound off. So I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning with my alarm going off to the exact same time as my phone ringing. So I was half asleep trying to hit buttons to turn the alarm off and pick up the phone. and managed to do the opposite way around. So I'd answered the phone before I'd, so my alarm's beeping in the background and I'm trying to listen to the voice, which was Rich, who was in Europe, to say, because my family had been ringing all night because they wanted to get the news to us before it went on Facebook or somebody put it out there, being 12 hours behind. So they'd finally managed to get hold of Rich and he was ringing me. So in that moment, not only was I waking up, which is often quite a sort of a delicate point, isn't it? But all of a sudden, this voice, you know, enters my world of your brother's died. And in that moment of like sort of shock and stunnedness and all of the things that come at a time like that, that was what I woke up to. And so for the next 6 months following that, I had this real fear of the night because of what was gonna could come in the morning. It was like it had lodged itself into my mind of this is going to sleep is not a good thing because you don't know what you're going to wake up to encounter. And so through that 6 months, you know, it was quite a wrestle. It was a sensitive place. And in the April, it was like 6 months following, we went away on holiday. And I had gone to sleep on this particular evening. I had done nothing different. But as I woke up the next morning, there were these words going through my head. And I knew it was probably a verse. I didn't have the whole thing, but I knew it was something that just said, let the morning. It was something about let the morning. So I got my phone and Googled it. And this verse came up in Psalm 143. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. And I don't, in that moment, I could kind of would have told you that I knew that experientially. But in that moment, God took those words of David's interaction and experience of God, and he just, all I can describe is it's like he downloaded something in my heart, something broke in the expectation of what was going to come in the morning. And it went, that fear in that moment went. And then in more recent times during COVID, I was going through, we were all going through really difficult stuff, but there was some other stuff going on in the background for me that was deeply painful and relationally difficult. And I found all of a sudden, I'd never had this before like this, but all of a sudden God started just coming with different dreams. And I can remember one night having a dream. I hadn't asked for it. It wasn't like I had done anything. But in this dream, I encountered lots of people in my family and none of them wanted to speak to me. So if you know my story, my big thing is the fear of being overlooked or passed by or not being, you know, not being seen or heard. And in this dream, I encountered lots of my family members who were doing that. And I wanted to run. In this dream, everything in me wanted to run from that place. But I heard a voice that said, you need to hold. There's a message coming. This was all in my dream. So I was standing in this kind of auditorium and I saw a lady start walking towards me. And as she got to me, I said, hello, who are you? And she just looked me right in the eye and she said, I'm validation. And from that point, I started having some counselling and working with that. But that again just began to break some stuff that had been long-term held patterns and places in my life. And God met me in a dream to do that. So I guess what I'm saying is, and now in this season of my life, being a lady of a certain age, going through things like the menopause, my sleep has become a really disturbed place again. So this is something that I'm journeying out again with the Father of, you know, I'm not sort of saying it always needs to look like the dreams or it always needs to look like a scripture. So again, because it's a fresh encounter, it's giving him space to meet with me where I am now and the things that are kind of going on in my life in a physiological way that have become part of that picture where the nighttime has not been a place of grace or a place of rest. So So I'm not saying that I've had a few things in my life and that God's kind of like met me in the night and it's all awesome and forever good. But what he has done is raised my expectation, and he's changed the way that I look at the night time as a place where he wants to meet with me in a really powerful way, where he wants to come with his presence. And to not see the nighttime as any different to the daytime. It's no different to us sitting here and worshipping together like this in the daytime. He wants to do that in really profound and powerful ways for us. And there are lots of things we don't have time, and it doesn't feel right to go into this morning. There's some really practical things, isn't there, about the nighttime, about sleep, how we come towards it, some things that can help us. You know, it's not like God overrides all of that practical sense, because he's built our physical bodies in ways. And so we've got, you know, I want to leave that aside, but what I would love to do is anyone who would like to explore that a bit more, because I'm pressing into it again to understand what God is doing and wants to do in that space. If there's anyone here who's interested in journeying that and wondering about that together, I'm going to leave a piece of paper, because I'd love to do dinner with you or coffee with a group, if anyone wants to just kind of look at that together to see, what we can do as well in the process. But I think, guys, that, you know, just to, when you start looking at, right through the story, God's story with us through the Bible, there are so many different ways. You know, if you go back to Genesis, Jacob, if you know about him, he wrestled, or God wrestled with him in the night time. So it can be a place of wrestle, you know, when it's about getting rest and sleep and the things we need, but it's also a place where God will, you know, can wake us up, where there are things to wrestle, to not be afraid, to engage with him in that place rather than just trying to lay back and get to sleep. Maybe there's stuff that God wants to wrestle when there's no distractions and there's nothing else going on in our mind or engaging our senses, that he wants to come and wrestle some things with us. It's a place of rescue. You know, it says when Moses, when the children of Israel were being led out, it starts with God blowing a wind all night, it says, to part the sea. Sometimes I think we maybe just imagine it, you know, it was like some kind of instant kind of thing, but they're there waiting, knowing the enemy's coming, and they wait, and all night they had to wait through the night, but it was a place of rescue where God was making a way, where God was parting something for them. For Gideon, who came up against the Midianites, it was a place of victory where he went into battle at night time. God gave him a kind of way through, but it all happened in the early hours of the morning. Jesus, we know that the women came to the, again, it says at first light, dawn had just broken. He was already gone. His resurrection didn't come in the morning. It had already come previously. He was at work in the night, coming back to life and setting about a new way. Joseph had revelation where God came and the angel said to him, you know, you need to take Jesus and Mary and flee to another nation. You know, it's a place sometimes through dreams, through thoughts that come, revelation that God, guys, wants to release to us, not just for us and our growth and well-being, but for our neighbours and our friends, where he wants to release the knowledge that we don't have ourselves, so that we can bring life and speak life into other people's situations. Samuel, woken up by hearing a voice, not recognizing who it is, and finally is instructed and then finds himself saying, "Here I am, Lord." You know, it's a place of where we can receive instruction, again, where the other distractions and busyness are removed. So in Genesis, Jesus, it says over and over in the beginning of Genesis, something happens, God creates something, and it says this: it was evening and then it was morning. It goes the opposite way round. One author, Jewish author, wrote this: starting the day at night imbues darkness with light, fear with faith. When envisioned at the start of a new day, night may lose some of its dread. It turns it to a time of preparation, renewal and anticipation, a period of incubation before a new birth. To launch our days at night is to muster the courage not to take refuge in denial. Our capacity to master our nightmares greater at the start rather than at the end of a day. So we link life to darkness and we ask Jesus to help us go into the night in peace and restore us renewed to life, sheltered by the wings of the Almighty. What a beautiful way to go to sleep at night. And for young Jewish children, their Shema, that they would recite every night says this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Praised is the Lord by day and praised by night. Praised when we lie down and praised when we rise up. I place my spirit in his care when I wake as when I sleep. God is with me. I shall not fear, body and spirit in his keep. It's such a beautiful way, isn't it, of coming towards that sense of actually in the reality of God starting his day with us as his kids and all that he wants to do in the night time. But I just really felt, and I'm saying there's a whole lot there we could talk about in terms of the practicalities of that. But I think what I just want us to maybe come around for a few minutes, and as we just take some time to open the space for God to really just come and meet with us, is that word peace. You know, it's beautiful, that song, and that was a song that Mary has written, like just a beautiful place of truth and compassion and freedom, and where Jesus wants to bring his peace, that sense of, you know, it means to tie everything together into one whole where all is made well. So what he wants to do for us, guys, if we're not in that place, and I feel like it is specifically for some people this morning who are wrestling, you know, with a couple of things, you know, in that place of the night time where anxieties are coming, thoughts won't settle, where there's a lack of peace in that place for you. And then alongside that, for those that have a growing or would love a growing hunger to see and experience the night time as so much more than just that beautiful place of rest, which is what it is and it's what he's given it to us for, but this place of where he can speak to us, where he can bring dreams, where he can reveal things that we've not seen in our waking day, but he can reveal directly to our hearts and our spirits when we're lying down at night time. So we would love to spend some time praying together. Mary and Mark, if that's okay, we'd love to just come back around that song and the words. You know, this is not about sort of setting a soothing, in a sense, just using music. It's about coming back, you know, to those words of truth and an invitation where we would love to just stand with one another and invite Jesus to come. And when I had those bad dreams, at the age of 16, we had a couple come to our church at home, and the guy had a word of knowledge. He said, I believe there's a younger person here and you have quite crippling nightmares really, really regularly. We would love to pray for you. And so they did. And while my sleep has always still continued to be a sensitive place, it broke. You know, something broke. Like, I believe Jesus kind of, in a sense, closed the door on what had been open in that fear realm. And I never had those sort of dreams to that degree again after that moment. So I really want to invite guys, if there are things that actually have become a little bit crippling, we want to pray together. We believe, you know, that Jesus can meet us in that. And as we're doing that, just to also say, though, if sleep for you, if that place of the night time is actually become an exceptionally dark place, you know, then for some of us, you know, visiting, you know, spending time with maybe our GP, but also for me, you know, it was going into a season of counselling where that would just regularly get tended to in a really safe way, so that that darkness, in a sense, was no longer dark but a place of light because it was being shared with somebody else and with the Father together. So yeah, those may be things to explore as well. So why don't we stand and we'll just worship. And yeah, I just invite you to be bold. I think there's a few people, guys, if you love to pray for people, if you know Holy Spirit wants to just come and meet, I just ask you guys to come and just loiter. And anyone who wants prayer for that, I just encourage you to be bold and brave today, just to come and have some folks pray with you, because we really want to see freedom come.